Welcome to A Climate Affair, the show on Planet Radio 88 FM that deals with environmental news and current affairs around Australia and around the world. This week's show is going to be a shorter show than usual because we had some technical difficulties doing the podcast last week. And with anything in life which provides us with difficulty, there's often lessons to be learnt, and hopefully the quality of the show will continue to go up as my expertise in sound recording and editing goes up as well. So I'm looking at the bright side of the story, and I hope that you might see things in your own life when things go rough, that you can turn those emotions of negativity and sadness and depression into lessons and what we can gain from having those periods of low sensation. And occasionally when we're feeling really down and as though nothing's going to make us feel better, what can make us feel immediately better is just taking a nice deep breath, breathing in, let all the tension and stress release from our bodies as we forgive ourselves for making a mistake every now and again. Take a nice deep breath. Let your jaw relax and let your tongue gently upon the palate. Let go of all the stress and tension in your face. And that'll send a message to the rest of your body to relax those parts of you that might be a little bit tense from a difficult day or a difficult week or something that's really worrying you about the world today. Certainly, we've got a lot of things to be concerned about with the changes in our environment, and a lot of what we need to do to change those terrible things remains a little bit mysterious. So today's show, in the effort of helping us feel better about our situation, is all about innovations and good news. So welcome to A Climate Affair, efficient and full of goodness. The first piece of news I'd like to talk about is the solar-powered air conditioner. It's about to be released. After 4 years of development, the California-based company SoCool will launch the Millennia version 4 hybrid solar air conditioner. The air conditioner runs on solar panels or a wall socket or batteries, and it is designed to cool a large room while substantially lowering electricity costs, according to the company. The unit operates at a maximum of 500 watts, which is half what a typical air conditioner units use. If using batteries, the unit can last up to 24 hours depending on battery size. So that's very exciting. What could Australians want more than solar-powered air conditioning? Because, of course, where do we need air conditioners? Wherever it's really hot and the sun is shining brightly. I think that's a fantastic innovation. In other great news, the Brisbane City Council is going to plant 1 million trees within 2 years to help restore southeast Queensland's creeks and waterways. The Lord Mayor Campbell Newman says sites include the Oxley Creek catchment area and the Wivenhoe Dam. He says the project will help preserve Moreton Bay and is likely to move into other areas. He says they're going to be planting 1 million trees in 1,000 hectares over the coming 12 to 18 months. And if that works out, then the government's going to expand the project into 18 other local governments of southeast Queensland, and over the next 20 years will be to plant many more thousands of trees. You're back listening to A Climate Affair with Kate Conroy on Planet Radio 88 FM. Other good news for travellers. Jetsetters can now chip in for greenhouse gas offsets. Virgin Blue has invited its passengers to pay extra on top of their ticket prices to help offset the airline's greenhouse gas emissions. Customers booking online will be asked whether they want to make a payment that will go towards abatement programs such as planting trees. Environment Minister Malcolm Turnbull says passengers can be assured their dollars will go towards effective offset programs because the deal has been certified through the government's Greenhouse Office. And the government says that, you know, look, customers who are willing to pay extra to offset their carbon emissions will want to be sure that their money is going to a certified offset program. And this is actually a new system that the federal government has come up with. No other government in the world has set up a greenhouse office. But now that there is one, it looks like they're going to regulate what companies are doing to offset greenhouse gas emissions in the same way that the other government bodies regulate other industries, such as the organic foods industry, in order to maintain the standards that the customer is paying a premium to achieve. It's a really great idea, and I think it is a good use for the government regulation here. it is really difficult, the issue of offset emissions. There's a lot of controversy over exactly how to promise people that what they're doing in terms of planting trees is actually going to be beneficial in the long term. So this is a really good beginning to ensure high standards. Speaking of companies that are environmentally aware, there is a really fantastic magazine called Eco Investor Magazine. You can check it out online, ecoinvestor.com.au. The founder, Victor Bival, has actually been in venture capital throughout the 90s, and he actually first published the Environment Investment Directory in Australia in 1992. Back then, there weren't as many companies that were actively environmentally focused, and now there are thousands and thousands. So it's really important for there to be a magazine that can inform people about how to put their dollars into profitable and green options. EcoInvestor is really careful to distinguish what they do from people who might be offering simply ethical investment. And ethical investment means that a company is trying to make decisions that are perhaps sustainable or more sensitive to the needs of the environment or people around them. That might mean that if they're sort of a clothing company, that they're guaranteeing that they don't use sweatshop labour, or if they're an environmentally aware company, that they're using recycled toilet paper in the loos or renewable energy in their infrastructure and things like that. EcoInvestor doesn't work with those type of businesses. So businesses that are ordinary businesses that are ethically concerned won't get reviewed in this magazine. The idea is that the environmental businesses are deep green. These are businesses that are actually contributing positively to ecological and environmental improvement, whether that's new technologies in renewable energy or new types of innovations that are going to not just be ethical, but are actually going to perhaps turn around the sort of environmental damage that we're seeing across the world. It's a really interesting magazine. You can find free issues of the magazine online to get a sense of the type of things that they report. Just imagine, if you've ever read the Financial Review and you look at those sort of stock share information, this magazine does a similar thing but in more detail and only to do with environmental companies. The subscription is only about $50 a year for the entire year, and you can actually get it directly online. You don't need to go to a supermarket or to a newsagent. It's not sold in those retail establishments, which massively reduces the amount of paper used, so that's a really sustainable decision from EcoInvestor. And it means you can have it just on your computer, and that's really great as well. If we just use PDFs, then we won't be harming the environment from our own printouts. And you can get the information you might need if you're interested in putting some money towards really profitable but environmentally focused businesses. Another innovative company that's hitting Australia is Flexicar. Flexicar.com.au are sort of like a rental car and sort of like sharing a car. It's a system which is sweeping the world. Instead of every individual owning some material good, lots of individuals, communities of individuals, can share a good and use it when they need it, but not have to pay for it the whole time. It has been started in libraries of tool sharing, where instead of just books at your local library, you can go there and, you know, get some form of enormous equipment like a chainsaw for the couple of hours that you need to use it per week or, you know, per month or once or twice a year. Just think of how many lawnmowers exist in your average suburban neighbourhood. People only use their lawnmowers once a week at most for an hour or two. Why doesn't a street of people share their lawnmowers and everyone shares the savings? So Flexicar is a system of cars that are sitting in pods, at the moment only in Melbourne and Sydney. Those cars have their own little pod and they're named, and you can sign up for the service and then you can use your Flexicar by swiping your card for an hour or 2 hours to do some runs about town when a car is really much more convenient than public transport. The whole system works in conjunction with public transport, however, so there's no plan for Flexicar system to overtake using public transport in any form of urban city environment. the kind of people who would really benefit from this service at the moment are those living in the inner city, people who don't have parking spaces and who are spending like thousands of dollars on insurance every year. Insurance, maintenance, the cost of your car always, sorry, the value of your car goes down every day that you're driving it from the moment you drove it out of the car lot. It's a really interesting and innovative new idea, and it may actually help reduce congestion around our cities, but increase our flexibility. Flexicar is a cute company. They actually put local music by local Australian artists inside the cars, and then at the end of the month, you can take home those CDs. The cars are not actually cleaned between the time you use it and the next person using it. They're cleaned about once a week, and that's fine because you're sharing with other people who are interested in keeping the car clean. If you're interested in getting Flexicar to Brisbane, you should log on to their website, flexicar.com.au, and tell them that you want Flexicars in your suburbs. They're likely to come to West End or Fortitude Valley or New Farm area, precisely the area that Planet Radio is broadcasting at the moment. So do let them know that you're interested in this great new service. It really will revolutionise travel. In other great news in Australia, solar pulses suggest heavy Australian rain. Links between the sun's magnetic pulse and the Earth's climatic system points to heavy rainfall later this year and in 2008, which could break Australia's worst drought in 100 years. The theory, which has been submitted for publication in the journal Solar Terrestrial Physics, is based on correlations between Australian rainfall and 11-year peaks in the sun's magnetic emissions and switches in the sun's poles, which also occur every 11 years. The last flip occurred in 2001. The sun is now in a similar position in terms of its magnetic field as it was in the 1920s. Eastern Australia this year and next is seen following a similar path to the particularly wet years of 1924 and 1925. If it keeps on tracking this way, we could expect average and above average rainfall for eastern Australia. The sunspots are starting to increase again, and as it increases over the year historically, that's been a time of above average rainfall. 2009 would be the next period of potential drought in Australia. The theory comes from work on physical models of sunspot behaviour, which showed correlations between sunspot minimums and eastern Australian droughts over the last 100 years. The weather effects of changes in the sun are additional to the impact of climate change from greenhouse gases. Theory opens the way for better predictions of droughts and floods. In other good news in Queensland, a Southeast Queensland council is considering providing rainwater tanks to every home in an effort to stave off a water crisis in the future. We know now, perhaps, what the cycles of water may be for Australia, and they're never going to be continual. We're never going to have the safety of annual rainfall like we might have hoped in some wonderful dream. Even if there was no climate change, Australia experiences periodic droughts. We need to have our own water to deal with them. And Caloundra City Council is considering this, even though they themselves are not subject to tough water restrictions because it has ample water supply. But the councillor, Andrew Champion, says that has not stopped the city thinking about the future. Councillor Champion, which is a great name, is a vocal opponent of Queensland Government's proposals to take Caloundra's water. He thinks tanks are essentially mini dams and should not be ruled out as a water supply option. The government should be supplying these water tanks free of charge throughout southeast Queensland, and these water tanks would increase capacity of storage by one third across southeast Queensland. Interestingly enough, the Queensland Deputy Premier, Anna Bligh, says she will not rule out a proposal to provide these water tanks to all homes, and she suggests that they allow people to pay off their tanks over a 25-year period. And certainly that would be a really good compromise between just giving the tanks away and having people have access to the tanks as soon as possible. However, she notes how much pressure current water tank companies are already under because of the massive demand for water tanks in Queensland and the fact that enormous numbers of residents have already taken up the rebate scheme, which pays for a significant proportion of a water tank's cost, even though it doesn't give them out for free. And certainly they seem like the way to go in the future, because domestic water use is something where people really want the freedom. If you want a long shower, I'd like, you know, why can't I have a long shower if I've got my own water supply? Then I'm only responsible to myself. I can water my garden according to what I want to do, and I can do all of the things in my life that is suitable for my lifestyle. Finally, on A Climate Affair this afternoon, the new Harry Potter book is going to be printed on a percentage of recycled paper. Scholastic, the publisher, is committed to making sure 65% of the 16,000 tonnes of paper used is FSC certified, which means the paper comes from forest lands that are managed in a socially and environmentally responsible way. Totalling £22 million, this is the largest purchase of FSC certified paper to be used in a single book printing to date. Moreover, all the paper used in the printing will contain at least 30% post-consumer waste fibre, with much of that verified by the forestry standards as well. The Rainforest Alliance loves it. This is a major milestone for environmental and social responsibility in the publishing industry. Well, it's interesting. Although it's great that the Harry Potter book is going as far as it is, why isn't it going all the way to 100%? It relates to the greenwashing issue before. It's all very well for a company to get the publicity of doing something for the environment, but at what point should that company do something very significant? And that's all we have time for this afternoon on A Climate Affair. You've had a shortened broadcast this afternoon, but we've covered the major topics for the week of good news in the environment. Lots of companies doing really great things that you can feel good about, and hopefully as we continue with our awareness of the environment and support for science and innovation, we'll continue to have good environmental news and current affairs. You're listening to A Climate Affair. I'm Kate Conroy, and this is Planet Radio 88 FM.